Welcome to For Good Measure, an interview series celebrating diverse composers and other creative artists, sponsored by a grant from the California Arts Council. I'm Nanette McGinnis, Artistic Executive Director of Ensemble for These Times. Today we continue our interview with E4TT Assistant Director and For Good Measure cover art designer, Brennan Stokes. I get that you get a lot of your ideas from the text, both musically and thematically. Do you get them other ways, or is that the primary way? And would you consider yourself primarily a vocal composer right now?
I think right now, yeah. Most of my recent output has been vocal. And again, I think vocal music kind of encompasses my flair and fondness for theatrics and drama and words and the lines that are being delivered, along with the musical component that's helping to drive or be that kind of outside force that's maybe fighting or in conflict with the vocalist. There's lots of kind of fun shades of music and drama that can be brought out with these kind of the, what I'll call like the ensemble and the vote and the voice. Mm-hmm. And that's been really fun to dive into and explore kind of how these things can support each other, and they can be in sync and in step with each other, supporting the same emotion or idea, or one, you know, undercutting the other, or being somewhat at odds, or being maybe a different element to what the other is doing.
Showing the conflict in the characters or the speaker's thoughts, perhaps, or...
Yeah, it's always fun to have two entities interacting with each other.
Yeah. Are there any poets you're currently reading and interested in?
Tyler Kent White is a really phenomenal poet with some kind of shorter verse and things, but his poetry, I think that the book Songs With Our Eyes Closed is a really wonderful book. And Sarah Kay is another really great poet, kind of similar to Teasdale. Mm-hmm. Reminds me very much of kind of this really kind of concise, beautiful poetic language, and especially the way it sounds. You know, reading poetry out loud especially is always a fun thing to kind of hear, and kind of how the mouth moves around the structure and the kind of the dance of how these poets, you know, craft language. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, the language that we use every day, but you know, the when it's intentional and just when it's elevated into this more artistic form, it just makes even reading it out loud that much more fun.
Mm-hmm. Creative and all that, productive. You grew up in Southern California. You got your master's in composition from the conservatory here in San Francisco. Are the musical or composition scenes different in the two parts of the state? What's to like? Does one region do something better than the other? And has the musical landscape changed during your time here?
Yeah, I definitely have always felt that the kind of the greater Los Angeles area, and particularly Hollywood, has been a scene for looking for a kind of what I call like music for media. You know, you have music for the movies or for short films. You have people needing music for their podcasts and, you know, intros. You have people, you know, ads and TV streaming. There's music that's needed for something. Mm-hmm. And having talked to even like a few composers down there, there's a classical music scene, but I think especially here in the Bay Area just has such an incredible, thriving new classical music scene.
That's for sure.
And just they're well supported and well attended. There's so many I think just smaller venues in a concise area that people can attend so many concerts featuring new music with new ensembles and existing ensembles. I think there's a really supportive nature in the Bay Area with kind of camaraderie in the new music scene. that's been really beautiful to experience and witness and continue to kind of watch. I think just due to the sprawling nature of Los Angeles County, it does make it a little more difficult to have people, you know, if you're saying, well, I'm going to host an event down in Long Beach. But, you know, if most of your friends live in North Hollywood and Pasadena or all the way up in Santa Monica, you know, depending on the time of day and traffic, and there's many, many elements that go into the scheduling, even, you know, going out for coffee with friends, let alone concert attendance. My years here, starting at the conservatory in 2017 to now, there's just still been such a gracious and open new music scene.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been really inspiring to know that, you know, new music is very much alive and well here in the Bay Area, and there's lots of great talent and room. There's always room for new and emerging composers to get their music out there.
Yeah, you're right. Who or what were your major compositional influences? Who are you listening to? Who were you listening to?
I think composition wise, particularly for in my undergraduate years, I did a lot of listening to solo piano repertoire of Beethoven, Ravel, Chopin were definitely major influences, I think, for me. I always appreciated Beethoven's ability to continue to just push the envelope of his time, from the first sonata all the way through the last one. There's always a moment where you go, like, what? he just shakes you up a little bit, and you go, like how did you manage to surprise me at sonata 32 when I thought I was, you know, I just thought we were, you know, in this together, and I thought I'd, you know, I heard all your tricks. And there's always a fun twist that he'll throw in there.
Oh yeah.
Is just really inspiring, and kind of some of the larger, being able to kind of look and kind of see like how did he do this? Like, what did he do that makes this so effective?
Mm-hmm. How'd he set it up? Yeah.
And then Chopin, there's a small book called, I think, Chopin's Musical Style that laid out that Chopin was very invested and interested in bel canto opera.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of made me kind of realize, like, oh, well, duh, like that makes total sense with just the fluid and florid nature of, you know, these just cascading right hand, you know, serpentine, just, you know, beautiful lines that he creates over kind of, again, to kind of a steady kind of left hand for the most part. Being able to appreciate just this very free yet metered approach to piano music, again, where Beethoven is definitely, I think, on the percussive side of the instrument most of the time, and the rhythmic side of things. Chopin just brings this just immense lyricism, and a lyricism that's not strictly bound by the voice, but really kind of finally kind of gave the piano its own voice, and just having this really, if there was a singer that could have the same florid range of the piano and be able to sing some of these lines, that would also be incredible.
Yeah.
But just really appreciating the kind of that tender, fluid quality that that has been, you know, kind of gifted to us via Chopin. And also realizing that most of his music is in kind of song form, that there's largely kind of a large ABA structure to even like most of the scherzos, and even some of the larger pieces, there's still this overarching kind of just song form organization that I think also just, you know, continues to have mass appeal to those of us who listen to it, because when, you know, we have this really cool first theme or section, then he manages to take us on a journey in between. And then when we come back to that, you know, that first melody, you know, we definitely know where we're at, and it's not quite as, I think, disorienting or as confusing as if some like larger architectural structures and things. So I think there's a level of kind of keeping it on the simple structure side that I also have learned to appreciate with Chopin, that you can still do really fun and fancy things, but not let it get lost in the sauce, so to speak.
No mystery, so that you can focus on the lyricism or whatever instead of on trying to puzzle out the structure.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to For Good Measure. And a special thank you to our guest, Brennan Stokes, for joining us today. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to our podcast by clicking on the subscribe button and support us by sharing it with your friends, posting about it on social media, and leaving us a rating and a review. To learn more about E4TT, our concert season online and in the Bay Area, or to make a tax-deductible donation, please visit us at www.e4tt.org. This podcast is made possible in part by a grant from the California Arts Council and generous donors like you. For Good Measure is produced by Nanette McGinnis and Ensemble for These Times and designed by Brennan Stokes, with special thanks to co-producer and audio engineer Stephanie M. Newman. Remember to keep supporting equity in the arts and tune in next week for Good Measure.